Well, I'm not sure about being in the post office, but I can make this interesting for the youngsters.
Oh, I'm sure you can.
And,
Did you start to come, did you feel better sitting down on the floor?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're more at home sitting on the floor. Okay.
Well, now, shall I just go on with the sort of the history from the time that I came here until...
That's a good idea. Okay.
And then they can ask questions after me?
Oh, that sounds good.
Okay. Well, my first time in Hillsboro was in the spring of 1912, May, I think it was. And at that time, they had just established a new post office, and it was located at the corner of 3rd and Main, in the Uptall building where the Hive men's shop is located now.
Yep. Right on Main Street, 3rd and Main. Right.
You know where the Hayes is?
The Hayes.
You know where the Hayes is?
Oh, mm-hmm. Right.
And then in July of that year, July 1912, I came and took the civil service examination with about 10 or 11 others. And from that examination, 3 appointments were made, and I happened to be lucky enough to be one of them. And I started work on September 9th, 1912, and believe it or not, it happened to be on a Sunday. Then in May, or sometime during 1922, we moved the post office from that point to a place up 122 East Main, across from the post office, or across from the courthouse. And do you remember where the bus depot used to be there, maybe? Maybe not. Maybe that's moved since then. And now it's Don's Plumbing. Do you know where Don's Plumbing shop is? That's where we moved from 3rd and Main. And then in the 1930s, the government began building federal buildings for post offices for a while. And we were lucky enough to be one of them. And in 1934, they started that building, new post office building, where they are now. And in later day, 1935, we moved in there. Two other federal buildings were on the construction at that time, McMinnville and Newburgh. And I don't think many have been built since that time. But since then, I think they've been renting, having buildings built and then just renting at the time. We started with 3 employees, myself and 2 others, and the postmaster, and that was all there were at that time, 1912. And the population was 2016, as I recall it. Now I understand, I called. I talked to Mr. Loden here not too long ago, and I think he said there were 35 employees at that time. 35. In addition to the three in the office, there were five dormitories. So there were 8 altogether. Now, they gave us in knowing the names of the different postmasters at that stage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, in my time, there were 8 postmasters, including myself. My first postmaster was B.P. Cornelius, Cornelius. He was there in a short time, from 1912 to 1913. Then Mr. James Lampkin, she ran a pin shop that made postmasters from 1932 till about 1920. Then Mr.
Lampkin.
L A M K I N. J. C. Lampkin. And then he's followed by Mr. Henry A. Ball, who had been county school superintendent at one time. I think he was county school superintendent when I was still in school. It's from 1920 to 1924. When I was installed in 1924, I served from 1924 to 1936. Said postmaster, O-L-G-M-A-G-E-L. I was followed by Mr. McPeters. He served from 1936 to 1948 or 49.
Mr. L T M C T H E E T E R S.
M C capital P H E E T E R S. Let's see this. He had been a.
T-H.
He had been a pharmacist and also was in one of the banks here. Then he was followed by Bob Melkis, M-E-L-C-U-I-S-T, 1949 to 1950, as I recall.
Melkis.
And then came Chester Merrill, M-E-R-R-I-L-L, 1950. And I don't recall when he left. About 1970, I would guess. And he's been, of course, followed by the present postmaster, Ernest Loden. L-O-E-H-B-E-N. Well, that's just I served under 60 of them, and then I was postmaster myself for a while. At that time, there were about, the post office had about 600 boxes and a big general delivery service. They all lined up when they mail time, after mail came in, there was always a lineup after you don't live it to get the mail. I recall one large family, they always had somebody just big enough to peek over the top of the shelf so they could see me. And they were a growing family, and that happened for quite a while, several years.
I bet they don't know what general delivery is.
Oh, no, maybe they don't. General delivery is a place where you call for your mail.
Everybody did.
Right. And mail wasn't delivered at your house. You had to pick the mail up. Yeah, that's what I mean about the 600 boxes. That's the place where they... Well, we put the mail into so that they could take it out. They rented those boxes, and then those that didn't rent boxes, they had to come to the general delivery window to call for their mail. Yes, then there were five rural carriers who delivered mail out into the country. They had routes about, up to 24 miles in length at that time. Yes, and they were delivered by horse and buggy. And they would go out to around 9 o'clock or so, and sometimes later they wouldn't get back to 7 o'clock, way after dark. And then in October 1st, 1916, carrier delivery service was established here. We had two carriers, Mr. Getter, G-A-E-C-T-E-R, and Mr. Ryan, were the first two city carriers here. And that went away with a lot of the calling at the general delivery to the mail.
Do you know what carriers are? What a carrier? Yeah, they're a mailman. That's right. People who come and deliver in town. But only two of them.
That's right.
And now I imagine how many carriers do they have?
Well, they must have 10 or 12 city carriers, and I think the rural carriers have been reduced to 4 now, I think they've combined. See, now they have what they call the delivery. The city carriers deliver with a car. And so they take them in part of the rural, close in around rural, but they used to. Well, the rural carriers used to deliver.
Oh, so, that's right. I did know that. That's right.
And
the outlying areas, like where you people live, right on Henry, it's all delivered by truck, isn't it? So it's really just the downtown area anymore.
That's right. Yeah. Well, it was just what was in U.S., just the downtown area. And then the out as far as Old Spire City Park and up to about 10th Street, and then west across the tracks, and then road across the tracks there. And they made three deliveries a day, three times a day they would have to go out and deliver mail. And that was reduced then to two deliveries. And now I understand you have only one delivery, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I remember when we used to have two deliveries.
Yeah. Remember that? Yeah. They had three deliveries in the business section and two deliveries to the outside.
I remember that now.
Yeah.
If you didn't get something in the morning, you might get it in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, if you don't get something one day, you have to wait till the next day.
So. Now, does anybody want to ask any questions about that? Mm-hmm.
Not about that. Okay.
At that time, and until about 1933, postcards cost 1 cent. And letters you could mail for 2 cents.
And you didn't have any air mail, did they?
No, not that time. No, that didn't come in till about the 1930s sometime, I guess.
1 cent for
postcards
and 2 cents for letters. Why didn't they have any air mail in those at that time? Well, it's been invented, but they weren't delivering mail.
They were not delivering mail. I don't recall this from the street side, but it was probably about in the late 1920s, I would say. Mm-hmm. delivered to
you? How to be delivered, but...
Yes, I'll get you that.
Okay, Bill, you get
it, okay. Then about, and after that, letters began to advance. They went to 3 cents at that time, and then to 4 cents, and 5 cents, and 6 cents. And then they jumped to 8 cents and to 10 cents. And I think God has gone now 6 cents.
I think so.
Now we used to cancel stamps. They put the postmark. You do the postmark on your letters?
On the front, postmark, the only postmark is on your letter. The wavy line, so what they cancel the stamp with.
That's what they call canceling the stamps. We used to do that when I first came here, and until for about 10 years, we had a pad, a rubberized pad about that big, and that was covered with a felt pad about a quarter of an inch thick, I would say, and onto that we put ink, which is printer's ink, and then to cancel the stamps we had to take each letter, we faced them, and that means that you put the letters all, the addresses all one way, and the stamps all one way. And then you would take them and you just do that all day long there, you did. To put on the postmark on there. And that happened, I guess, for about 10 years until we finally got a machine that they could run them to. How long do the ink prepare?
We have about an hour. Okay. Not quite an hour, about an hour.
Yeah, I just didn't see a bit. And then, what we call outgoing mail is the letters that you put in the post office, and they are prepared to be sent away on the trains or however. At that time, they were sent by train mostly, which is not the case anymore. Now they don't have trains, they can't send them. I'm told, I think I talked to Mr. Loden the other day, and I think he says he don't believe that there are any mail being sent on the trains anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They send it by air mail or by trucks. They're up trucks. Now, it's over there, have a truck that goes from Portland to Salt Lake and different points like that.
They ask
the
consortium
mail
in those trucks, can't they?
No, they don't anymore. That's what they used to do.
Mm-hmm.
They used to... We had to put them in cases. Pigeonholes, you know what a pigeonhole is? it's a big box that has square. You know what a football box is? Have you seen them?
Yeah.
They look like that, only that they're open on both sides. And we had to distribute the letters that you dropped in there. We had to distribute them in there. And if you had, always had one for Portland, one for Chicago, and one for New York, and then others were distributed by state. And if it came, if they had one for an address in Missouri, well, you'd put it in that box. If it was for Chicago, I'd go in the Illinois box. Then if you had 10 or more, then we would have to, 10 or more for one address, for instance, one post office or one state, we had to bundle them And when we get ready to dispatch them here, we had to take them out of there and bundle them, tie them up the string, and then, as you say, the fellows on the train, those long distance trains, had postal employees, had the railway military clerks. And they would distribute them, they would take them as they came from the different offices and distribute them to the different cities or to the different states that they went along.
So you just drop them off?
Yeah.
On the way.
And at no stop stations, they had what they called catchers. If the train didn't stop, there's always this little place like the well, I know a train, suppose it was on a railroad line, and the train didn't stop there, they would put there wouldn't be very much rail, and they had a pouch, a sack, and it was divided, or it was when the mail was put in there, they would put it in both ends, and in the middle was a strap, and it would be looked like an hourglass. I don't know. You know what an hourglass is?
You know, it's like that. Mm-hmm.
The fan goes from one, you turn it over and the fan goes from one place to another, and you turn it over to an hour, like, well, that's what they were shaped like. Well, now those were put onto a hook on the outside of the mail car, and those little towns had a pole to which was attached a hook, and when the train came along, they would just catch the pouch, and that's the way they got the mail.
They'd pull right off the train. Yeah. When the train went by, there'd be the mail hanging on.
Well, they would pick up the mail that way. The postmaster would pick the mail, and their pouch would just be thrown on the ground. And then they put the mail in the train. And they, if they were a long-distance train, like going to the east, where they would have one or two or three mail cars, just to put employees in them. But now, they send them via a bus or however. We had the first, when I came here, the raw mail came for the Southern Pacific down there. And they had to go clear down to 2nd and April or someplace down in there.
Down by, you know where Jackson Bottom is? Do you see the name of that? The Carnation Can is? The railroad depot was kind of down in there especially for freight and things.
Yes, and still there.
Yeah,
depot's still there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. Still there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well then it's right down
that area. That's where they had to go and get the mail. And it's down this end of town. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how they used to, about 15 here. And then later on, the Oregon Lefty People's train, which was by here, they could put mail on that and get mail from it. And they had some 13 different trains going back and forth between Portland and Forest Grove, and the government could put mail on any passenger train that they wished to.
So, you see, the train came from Forest Grove in Portland. They went back and forth. That was the major way of really getting into Portland for many years, was on that electric train.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then the Southern Pacific run a line up here to compete with them, and they came up 6 feet here. And now back on the corner here, if you'll notice, there's a big cement curve there.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the train used to go around, and they run an electric, and they electrify this part of the
oh.
And
in a way,
They would be just the electric cars.
Mm-hmm.
Just this part of the, from here to the, Eugene, I guess. They run electric cars and here to Eugene.
They'd be like trolley cars. They had an overhead line, and then the thing was attached to the train, and it made it go. And they also had something, they had grounding down below.
Yeah, it was
a train.
To be grounded.
They had a track. Yeah, but this was a regular train.
That's what I'd be, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's
she said she'd seen that before.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the way they used to have carry passengers in Portland too. They used to carry cars down there and carry the passengers. That's the way they rectified this. And then in about 1928, I think they discontinued the Southern Pacific discontinued going. And I think about the same time too, I think the passenger cars were discontinued here along the Rocky. Right.
I hope.
Well, we never did, but they do. They did carry mail by boat. You take things from Rogue River. There were some towns up the Rogue River there, and they still get their mail by boat. I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's way down the southern Oregon, from the coast up into the called Grand Pass. When I first came here, there was no pavement. The streets were not generally paved. They had just paved the street between 1st and about 4th on Main between 1st and 4th. And I think from Lincoln on 2nd Street down to the depot. Now that's all the pavement that there was here when I first came here. The rest of it was all either mud street or rock, gravel. And they had planks for me. I didn't see them. They were gone when I got here, but not very long. But this is what they looked like. This, I don't believe that is a picture of Hillsboro, but that's what they would look like.
They're wooden planks. And wooden planks.
Yeah, pass it around so they can see. And I heard stories about that. They, when they once get worn, they get loose. And in the winter time, when it was rainy, and water got underneath the planks, you had to be careful when you were walking along the sidewalk, because a horse and buggy might come along and they'd just jump on that plank and it would squash the water up into your face.
Yeah. That was probably a surprise, wasn't it?
I guess they looked out for that. Yeah, I was telling you how the early mail carriers had to sort the mail on the trains. Well, we had a taking family. We had some in Oregon, some 900 forefathers and runs. Now a run is a place from one point to another. Say, for instance, from Portland to Ashland would be called Portland and Ashland. And that you would be required to fill the letters into a box. All the posts along that line would be put into that box. And then when the carrier on the train got it, clerk on the train got it, he would have to distribute to the posts along the line. And we had to take the examination every year to know, we had to know what runs each and what where each post office was delivered on what run, and we had to have 99% correct, or we had to take it over.
You almost had to know where every town in Oregon was.
All the time, yes.
Can you imagine? See, if it was like from Portland, say, to Grants Pass, you know where Grants Pass is? They said, here's the route from here to there. They had to know the name of every town on that route, so that when they came across a letter to any one of those towns, they knew which box to put it in.
Same way we had to know where every town in Oregon was. We had to know how they got their mail, and we had to throw it into a office.
And that's tiny towns and big towns.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Some of them are kind of small.
Yes, that's right. We had, in Washington County, we had some 32 post offices. Now we have how many? Sherwood, Tigers, Portland, Beaverton, Westboro, Cornelius, Forest Grove, Jackson. Well, Aloha is part of Beaverton now. Yeah, they used to be. That used to be a post office.
I don't think they have a post office.
They have a station there, but it's part of Beaverton. So that from 32, it's been reduced down to 8 or 10 now.
So it's been all consolidated. Every little town used to have its own post office, but it doesn't anymore. It's more consolidated into larger places.